This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
So today we've had some data on both sides of the Atlantic, starting with the University of Michigan consumer sentiment numbers. What did they tell us?
Yeah, Johnny, this morning we got some numbers that were a little bit lower than expected. And these data points are both useful and not as useful at the same time, in the sense that they are a bit of a forward-looking indicator. Because when we are talking about sentiment and forward-looking stuff, you're talking about how people are feeling or businesses are feeling or consumers are feeling about the future or how their current outlook for the future is. And that is, of course, subject to biases and to opinions. And so this is where you do have to take these things with a grain of salt, but they are still useful because at the end of the day, how else are you going to look forward? What better way to look forward than to ask people what their plans of spending, what their plans of doing things are? So the University of Michigan put out their consumer sentiment numbers this morning. They were expecting an indexed reading, higher being better, lower being worse, of 58.2. We got just 55.4. So consumer sentiment feeling a little bit more downbeat than perhaps expected. We also had University of Michigan put out inflation expectations that came in at 4.8%. So I think that the way to look at this is after the last 2 weeks, we've had a combination of slowing jobs data that we saw evidence of last week, as well as a mixed inflation bag. We did get a rise in the CPI year over year up to 2.9%, though that was largely in line with expectations. The producer price index was, however, lower than expectations. So in some ways, that was a good figure for inflation. However, the challenge with unemployment claims this week in the U.S. was we had, again, a slide in the labor market, which we talked about in yesterday's episode. So I think that the overall outlook for consumers is a little bit concerning because you do have slower hiring. The jobs market looks a little less attractive. And at the same time, you have prices that are still sticky and high for consumers. Not only that, we also had some, as you mentioned, some GDP numbers on your side from the U.K., with the U.K. putting out their GDP month-over-month number, which came in line with expectations at 0.0, right? So we had no growth in line with expectations. And, you know, this just extrapolates another point that we've been talking about on the podcast, which is this concern around stagflation is much more real in the UK than I would say than it is in the US. Still a possibility for the US, but the concern is much more clear and evident in the UK, where you have consistently low growth and inflation that is well back up into the high threes. I believe it's 3.9 or 3.6. I'm blanking on the number, but you have, point is, higher than 3.5% inflation year over year in the UK in tandem with slowing growth. And so that combination is very tricky for central banks because you ask the question, should you raise rates, cut rates, or hold them? And people who are hurting for jobs are saying, hey, cut the rates so that, you know, businesses might give some stimulus and start hiring. And at the same time, you have people who are saying, well, don't cut the rates because inflation is already high and we don't want to send ourselves into further price spirals. So it's very tricky. And so you do have some evidence of that in the US, but I would say when we look at the UK situation, it is even worse. It's more challenging there than it is here. In terms of market reaction today, we do have stocks muted here in the US, but specifically in the UK, stocks are a little bit lower here. Gold and silver rallying back to fresh highs, and oil prices are up because of what we saw this morning. We actually had some sanctions, some new sanctions being put on by the UK and other nations against Russia with the whole Ukraine and Russia situation. The UK imposes 100 new sanctions targeting Russia's revenues and military supplies. Another, the Kyiv Independent post here, the UK pledges $193 million in Ukrainian aid, hits Russia with new sanctions. So you have this rising geopolitical uncertainty, which I think is also sharply rising the price of oil prices today and commodities, precious metals like gold and silver, which just kind of shows adding more turmoil to this. We know that geopolitical events can cause supply shocks. And if the situation in Russia and Ukraine does not resolve itself, if that is still going to be an ongoing thing, it is not a positive thing to markets, a concerning thing to markets and to asset prices. As we know, in 2022, that led to a huge surge in inflation. or at least assisted in making the inflationary problem worse with rising oil prices. So could rising oil prices come back into the fold in 2025, 2026? Let's hope not, because it would definitely hurt the progress being made on inflation and perhaps even further bottom out inflation and start a rise globally, as we've been seeing in many developed Western nations and central banks kind of fighting the good fight against inflation. Another thing that's very interesting is that you do have in the US, you have sticky inflation, but weak jobs data, and the Fed is going into what seems to be another cutting cycle. So they're cutting interest rates as we've been rising since May in inflation. So again, what choice do they have if there is obvious signs that the labor market is cooling? Well, this is where the precious metals, and pun intended here, they really shine. Because again, you have precious metals being very attractive to investors who are like, central banks don't know what to do. Or at least they're stuck between cutting interest rates and holding them. Cutting to help the labor statistics and holding to help the inflation data, there's a very difficult, tricky back and forth that I think market participants are worried about. And that is, again, why I think we have silver hitting a many-year high going back to 2011 and beyond. We are hitting fresh highs at $42 an ounce for the price of silver. Gold also hovering just below its all-time highs, currently trading around $36.42.
So that's today, Nick. What about the next few days? What about the week ahead?
Yeah, so next week we are going into Monday pretty quiet to start out the week. If we take a look at Tuesday, however, we do get some Canadian CPI data, which of course, again, this inflation thing is a global phenomenon, so we'll keep an eye on that. We also have retail sales coming out of the United States on that Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, we get UK CPI, also very touchy subject with that dealings of high inflation that we just got done discussing. We hear from the Bank of Canada on Wednesday. And of course, the big Fed meeting is probably the highlight of next week. It's going to be 2 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to get the Fed funds rate as well as economic projections. And then at 2:30, we get the rate press conference. So very, very big stuff there. On Thursday to follow, we hear from the Monetary Policy Committee in the UK. So we're going to hear on interest rates there, which will also be very interesting. And finally, the Bank of Japan on Thursday as well. And then Bank of Japan press conference will take place on Friday. So very busy in terms of a central bank week next week. It feels like we've got jobs data last week, and then this week it's been inflation. Next week on deck is hearing from central banks.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Owen.